Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager. Do you folks see Snoopy? Is Snoopy in the picture? I know Otto is always. Snoopy's not. Maybe lower. I made reference to Snoopy. I have no idea why Snoopy joined me today, but there he is. And now you know Otto's brother. They're very, very close, by the way. It's not uncommon to find them together, either snuggling or one doing a major cleaning of the other's ear, which is a beautiful service on the part of each of them. And they certainly take their time. They get somewhat obsessed, actually, until the one who was having his ear cleaned finally wiggles away, feeling I've had enough of my ear rubbed for the day. I'm Dennis Prager, that's Otto, that's Snoopy, and the rest is history. This is my fireside chat. What number is this?
152.
I say this very often, but I will repeat, therefore, I find it amazing that we've done that many. I want to remind you that this I don't always mention, I do on occasion, and that is, if you watched number 37 or number 16 or number 88, it is just as valuable as when I recorded it. These issues, even if I'm talking about an event of the day, the questions are timeless, and what I have to say about the event of the day is also not time-bound. So I strongly suggest that if you have the time and inclination to watch past episodes of the Fireside Chat. This is a spontaneous way of my talking to you about what is on my mind, and then taking questions about what is on your mind. Before anything, I should note that this week on Friday night is the holiest of the two holiest days are inaugurated of the Jewish calendar. It's the Jewish New Year, which is Rosh Hashanah, and then on the 10th day, 9 days later, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day. What I'm about to tell you is, to me, almost unbelievable. Last year, I announced that the service that I conduct, I have been conducting services for the Jewish High Holy Days for 13 years, 13 consecutive years. About 400 people attend. And if you see what I did, you will actually hear me say, you know, folks, I just don't know if everybody will be able to attend services next year. So I decided, isn't this amazing? So I decided to professionally video these services this year. So you'll be able to see them next year and any year after that. So therefore, I'm not talking about anything that is time-bound. I want this to be able to be seen 20, 50 years from now. But I said it as if I got this message. People may not be able to see services live, at any rate, next year. And sure enough, that's exactly what's happened. So I got 7 cameras. 4 men, 7 cameras. 4K, the highest video. I mean, there's 8K, but very little is recorded in that. 4K, the highest video, done by one of the leading video photographers and photographers in Los Angeles, which has many great video people, Robert Antal. And the result is really powerful, whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, whether you're religious or an atheist. About 400,000 people saw my Passover Seder. And if you want to read the comments that they have, it's on YouTube. You'll see how people were moved. Well, this is 16 hours, not an hour and a half. So I think you'll find it very moving. At PragerU, right? You just click on the top to see how you can get to watch it. There'll be a link
in the description.
And a description, and much more. Also, when you click onto the link, you will be able to see a 3-minute trailer of some highlights from it. But my first love, I have many first loves. But religion and music, I guess, are up there. Which allows me to say something personal for a moment. I talk a lot about political matters, what are called political matters, societal matters, and they mean a lot to me because I care about society. But I'm forced to talk more about politics than my nature would want. I would much rather talk to you about leading a happier, more meaningful, more ethical life, being a better person, being a deeper person, getting married, raising children. But the times in which we live are not allowing me to just talk about that stuff. This is a very difficult time and one that worries me because good societies are very rare, and America has been a good society. To which, of course, people will say, well, not been good for everybody. That is true. That's why you compare societies to other societies, not to perfection. Agreed. But in the last decades, it's been good for the vast majority of its people, of every color, of every religion, every race, every ethnicity. That is why people of every race and ethnicity want to move to America more than they want to move anywhere else, because they have known how good this place is. As I've told you often, 3 million blacks have come to the United States in the last few decades. 3 million. Tens of millions of more would come if we had open borders, which we should not have. No country should have open borders. You can't allow unlimited numbers of people to come in, just as you couldn't allow unlimited people to come into your house. My country is my house. We have to, obviously, have limitations on how many people can come in. But 3 million came, 2 million from Africa, 1 million from the Caribbean. And I want you to understand, you have to compare that to the number of Africans who came here as slaves, about 340,000. Versus 3 million who have come voluntarily. As for white privilege, how come Nigerians earn more than whites? Did they have Nigerian privilege? Nigerians are coming here from Nigeria, obviously, which is in West Africa. They do quite well. So do almost the great majority of Africans who come to America. People come here because they know it's a great land of opportunity. I began by saying to you, good societies don't grow on trees. If we destroy America, and it could be destroyed as what it was, in other words, it will still geographically exist, but not as America. One day, in the not too distant future, people will ask, how did a country that was so wonderful commit suicide? Which is a very real question. So that's the reason that I have not just talked about what matters to me. Well, everything matters to me. I only talk about what matters to me. But as I said, if we were not in such a crisis situation, I would talk to you more about personal issues and about religious issues and a whole host of other things. On the religion thing, I just need to tell you, so many of you have been raised to believe that religion is for dummies, and that sophisticated people are all secular. But it turns out that that's not the case. The secular world has not produced all that much. It produces a lot of knowledge, but it produces no wisdom, and societies function on wisdom. Of course, knowledge is important, but it's not as important as wisdom. Look at our universities. I mean, the things that they teach now, that, you know, you take down Shakespeare at the University of Pennsylvania, you take his mural down at the English department at the University of Pennsylvania because he's white and he's male. The whole point of a great society, of a great culture, of a great civilization is that you go for greatness, not color, not gender. That's the whole point. It's irrelevant the color and the gender of the person who made greatness. Greatness matters. Guy at the New York Times wrote a thing about the 10 greatest composers. So he dropped some of the greatest because he said, well, there were too many Austrians and Germans on the list. That's ridiculous. Then it's not the 10 greatest composers. If the 10 greatest composers all came from Albania, then so what? If they all came from Nigeria, so what? Great art is great art. It doesn't matter who makes it. This notion of we need to have diversity, why? We need to have excellence. That's what we need to have. We lift people to great standards. We don't lower standards down to people. Otherwise, society is over. The cliches that are thrown out as if they are meaningful are not meaningful. Diversity is our strength. Excellence is our strength. Moral excellence, artistic excellence, scientific excellence. That's our strength, not diversity. Diversity is not great and it's not bad. It just is. But it's a lie to say that's our strength. What if it's a diverse group of criminals? Then it's diverse, but it's not good. I have no issue with diversity. America was founded on the notion of e pluribus unum. It's one of the three mottos of our country. Liberty in God we trust, e pluribus unum. So that means from many one. If everybody adopts American values, liberty in God we trust, e pluribus unum, then who cares if they're diverse or not? Fine, it's wonderful. This country was founded to unite people. Remember, American isn't an ethnicity. Swedish is an ethnicity. Tribal groups in Africa are ethnicities. But American is not an ethnicity. American is an idea. If we don't unite around an idea, we will break up. Then diversity will just break us up, which is what is now happening. You're no longer an American. You are a black American. You are a white American. This is new. Well, it's not new. Racists always believe that. Leftism has taken over the racist idea that your color defines who you are. It's not even what I wanted to talk about. But it's too important. So I was saying people think religion is for dummies. So look at what the secular world is producing. All these moronic ideas. Like we don't choose what we study in the English department based on excellence, but based on color or sexual orientation or gender. Same with music. No, we choose it by excellence. Do you know what Japanese love to listen to? Japanese, their favorite music is Western classical music. The greatest recordings of Bach, who was a German composer, a German Christian composer, male as well. The greatest recordings today are being done by a man named Suzuki, a Japanese, with a Japanese choir and a Japanese orchestra. When I was in Japan my first time, I'll never forget, I went to a Beethoven concert. There was one seat left. I was there alone as a 20-something-year-old, and I got the last seat for Beethoven's Ninth Symphony with the Tokyo Philharmonic. They don't play Western music because they're pro-white or pro-European. They're pro-excellence because Beethoven speaks to everybody, not just to Germans or males or whites. And yet the secular world is producing this nonsense. So I am not terribly attracted to the anti-religious world of the university. Now, I'll give you an example of a huge thing that the Judeo-Christian world put out that is unique. Good and evil transcend every other issue, every other identity. You see, many of you think, or maybe all of you, that it is normal to think in terms of what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. That's not true. The traditional view of what is right and what is wrong was not a moral view. It was a power view. If my tribe is stronger than your tribe, we conquer you. There is no right that transcends that. When the Catholic Church converted German tribes to Christianity, the biggest resistance it had in Europe to conversion was the German tribes. And you know what they said? We reject your Ten Commandments. We think killing is fine because we're stronger than everybody else. What's wrong with that argument? What is wrong with the argument, if I can kill you, I should? You have no argument unless you believe that moral ideas transcend power. So this was a Judeo-Christian idea. It came from the Jews and the New Testament in the Old Testament, and then carried forth to the world with the New Testament and the Old Testament, known as the Bible. This was a new idea and unique. It's not power that determines right and wrong. It is morality, which transcends power. But now we are the Marxist idea, the leftist idea, not the liberal idea. Liberalism is always subscribed to the traditional Judeo-Christian moral notion. But the left-wing Marxist idea is no. It is now not based on power, based on class. So let me read to you from Marx. It's in my latest column. This is from Karl Marx himself in his major work, Das Kapital, Capital. Right can never be higher than the economic structure of society. We therefore reject every attempt to impose on us any moral dogma whatsoever as an eternal, ultimate, and forever immutable moral law. So let me translate that into English. For Marx and all of the left, right was not something transcendent. It was based on class. If it was good for the worker, the working class, then it was good. If it wasn't good for the working class, it was bad. And they said, we reject an eternal, ultimately forever immutable, meaning changeable moral law. We don't unchangeable moral law. We reject that. It was a direct rejection of the Judeo-Christian idea that morality transcends groups. Lenin, same thing. We say, 53 years later, in 1920, Lenin, the father of a Soviet or Russian communism, we say that our morality is entirely subordinated to the interests of the class struggle of the proletariat. Proletariat is the working class. We do not believe in an eternal morality. We repudiate all morality derived from a God and non-class concepts. There you go. So what happened? Listen to what a professor at Harvard wrote in 1957. Wilfred Cantwell Smith, the director of Harvard University Center for the Study of World Religions. For Marxism, there is no reason, literally no reason, our universe, the movement posits, is the kind of universe where there cannot conceivably be any reason for not killing or torturing or exploiting a human person if his liquidation or torture or slave labor will advance the historical process. That's exactly what happened. Why do you think that they produced Gulag and killed tens of millions of people? Because it was justified. They rejected the idea that right and wrong transcend class. Do you know that there is a law in the Bible? You cannot favor the poor man in a courtroom. Yeah. Social justice is not justice. Social justice says you favor a poor man in the courtroom. But Judeo-Christian justice transcends economics, transcends race, transcends power. Okay? That's the big battle of our world today. The left is undoing the idea of a transcendent moral ideal, standard. We will have hell to pay, my friends. I hate to say this. You will have hell to pay, especially those of you in the younger generation. If we destroy the Judeo-Christian notion that good and evil transcend race, transcend economics, transcend gender. If we destroy that, you will literally live in hell. Because every place that destroyed that made hell. Everyone who has tried to make a utopia has produced hell. The human being is too complex, is too flawed to produce utopia. So what you try to produce is as good a place as you can with the raw materials that you have, the flawed human being. America has succeeded beyond the wildest dreams of most people in doing that. Don't let it get destroyed. Okie dokie. Video question, here we go.
My name's Azalea Beaver, I'm 16, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. My question is, in the past 10 years, we have seen multiple Democrats, news, and politicians use instances of destruction and gain in praise off of them. Does this not attribute to the immorality of the Democratic Party?
Okie dokie. I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, but let me just say this, and this I have written often and said very often. The better things are, the happier people are, the worse it is for the left. The left feeds on unhappiness. If you're a woman and you're happy, the odds are you won't choose the left. You won't vote Democrat. If you're an unhappy woman and think that American society is misogynist, hates women, is a patriarchy, you're angry at men, the angrier a woman is at men, the more likely she is to vote Democrat. The angrier a black is at whites, the more likely he or she is to vote Democrat. The more a Hispanic believes America hates foreigners, the more likely that person is to vote Democrat. The more grateful a Hispanic is to be in America, the more likely that person is to vote Republican. The happier a woman is with her life, with her family, with her career, whatever it might be, the more likely she is to vote Republican. Or as my old riddle goes with regard to blacks, what do you call a happy black? Answer, a Republican. So yes, they thrive off misery, and they want people to think it is miserable. When I speak at your campuses and women line up in these gorgeous campuses with their living in their great dorms or apartments, and you know, their education paid for usually by a parent, sometimes on a scholarship, and they tell me how oppressed they are, I know they have no idea what oppression means. An ungrateful American is a Democrat or votes Democrat. And I'll tell you this, there's no uglier trait than ingratitude. People should be walking around thinking, boy, am I lucky to be here. That's why tens of millions of people want to move to the United States. Are they stupid? What would you tell, if you believe America is systemically racist, what would you say to an African black who wants to come to the United States? Don't be an idiot. Really, what would you tell him or her? What would you tell that person? What, are you nuts? You're going to move to a systemically racist country? So all these 3 million blacks who've moved to the U.S. in the last few decades, they're nuts? You have to be on the left to believe that. It's not even a broken moral compass. That's what I always thought the left had. It's not true. They don't have a moral compass. They have a race compass. They have a power compass. They have a gender compass, but they don't have a moral compass because they don't think in the traditional mode of right and wrong. Okay, let's see here. Lionel, 21, Los Angeles. Hi, Mr. Prager. I have a simple question. How do you differentiate between justice and revenge? Thank you for being a force for good in my life and many others. Thank you, Lionel. How do I differentiate between justice and revenge? Well, revenge has a bad name and justice has a good name. Revenge is when you have gone beyond justice in punishing somebody for what they did. So that's how, in other words, revenge is unjust justice. But just justice is a form of revenge. And I have no problem with that. If somebody has tortured somebody to death, some psychopath has taken a woman. I mean, we watch these murder shows on TV or read about them. Like, you know, what is it? There's a famous, it's one of the only things I ever watch on TV, Forensic Files, where they have true stories of people murdered and how they solved it through forensics. And the things that have been done to people, people buried alive. There's a part of me that would like to see the person who buried that woman alive, buried alive. Is that bad of me? I think if you don't have that urge, there's something wrong with you. I want to see people who inflict deliberate suffering suffer. Now, I'm not going to do it. I admit, I am not going to bury alive a person who took an innocent person and buried that person alive. I will put them in prison, and if they killed them, I do believe that they should be executed. But the notion that revenge just reflects a bad part of the human species, it doesn't. I think it reflects poorly on you if you don't want to see bad people suffer the way they inflicted suffering. So it's a very complex question and a very good question you asked. But if somebody, let's say, stepped on your toe and then you punched the person in the face and broke their jaw, that's revenge. That's not justice. Okay? Is that clear? Good. What's our timing?
27.
Good. We can go more. All right, let's see here. Scott, 24, Tobaccoville, North Carolina. I'm a fan of tobacco. I must love your city. The Lang Gang, wife, four kids, teens and 20s, and me, weekly blessed by PragerU content. Thank you. Thank you and your entire team. You're welcome. Would enjoy hearing the story significance of one or two of the items from the eclectic collection on your mantle. Our Shih Tzus, Cookie, and Trixie greet Otto. You hear that, Otto? He might really take a fancy to your Shih Tzus, just for the word. He's a live wire. Anyway, all I could tell you is, and you'll see close-ups here, all of them were these are animals of made of different things, of wood and of glass and of ceramic and God knows what else, that struck my fancy or my wife's fancy somewhere in the world. So every continent but Antarctica is represented in that collection. Buffalo from North Dakota, so we got North America in there, and it's a very moving collection to me. The only reason that we don't I've been to Antarctica, I've been to all seven continents, but you can't buy any souvenirs in Antarctica. There's no shop because nobody lives there except in the South Pole where there's a science base. I didn't get to the South Pole. I did get to Antarctica. I ought to put up on my website a picture of me lecturing penguins. It is a very funny talk. I wanted to be able to say I spoke on all seven continents, so I gave a talk to penguins. I did give a talk to people on the ship off the coast of Antarctica, which is a really technically Antarctica, but I wanted to get on land. So I did give a brief talk on happiness to penguins. It's a very funny picture because there are about 100 penguins there, and none of them are looking at me, not one. Most of them have their head in the tush of another penguin. So it was a humbling experience for me, but at least I could say I gave a talk on Antarctica. What's our time now?
30.
Oh, bummer. Got so many great questions. Anyway, listen, I do want to remind you again to click on the banner at PragerU for information. As hundreds of thousands of people watched my Passover Seder, that was 90 minutes. This will give you a different understanding of the power of religion, whether you're Christian, Jewish, or nothing, or another religion, or Muslim, or Buddhist, or whatever. I explain everything. That was the reason I started my own services, was to explain everything. And people of every background go to these services. So it's the Prager High Holiday Services banner at PragerU. There's little doubt in my mind you will find it fascinating and hopefully uplifting. Anyway, it is always wonderful to be with you. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your comments. I'm Dennis Prager, and I'll be with you next week. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.